You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
One day, some of the kids from the neighborhood carried my mother's groceries all the way home. You know why? It was out of respect.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Most important thing in business is honesty, integrity, hard work, family. Never forgetting where we came from. See, you are what you are in this world. That's either one of two things. Either you're somebody or you're nobody.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A month from now, this Hollywood big shot's going to give you what you want.
Too late. They start shooting in a week.
I'm going to make them an offer again with you.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Me, I always tell it to you, even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. Last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again.
The Fan.
I'm a sailor. Let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fam. Thanks for being with us on a Wednesday morning. Hope your commute's going great. We're on 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app. 1080thefan.com. This stat blew me away yesterday. Probably shouldn't, but it does nonetheless. That Tom Brady is older than every coach remaining in the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, I've had that in my notes. I forgot to say that. That is...
like, what?
I think the oldest is Shanahan at 42.
42. Matt
LaFleur, 42.
Yeah, LaFleur and Shanahan are both 42. McVay's only 35 years old. Sean McVay's 35.
He's 9 years older than Sean McVay.
Isn't that crazy?
What a matchup. What a matchup of minds, man.
That is so funny. The other one that blew my mind was that... a lot of people have the Bucs and the Packers as the favorites in the NFC again. That Tom Brady in his career, he's played now two seasons with one playoff game in the second year in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady have the same number of wins in the playoffs against NFC teams.
Yeah. Tom has won a lot of Super Bowls, Dirt. That helps a lot.
You get, what, six over NFC teams in the Super Bowl? That one blew my mind as well. So
it's a big year for Rodgers.
It is a huge year for Rodgers.
Like, what if they don't beat the Niners?
I mean, this is what you brought it up earlier with the Rams. The only team that I'm willing to put that label on of like this is a failure bus kind of situation if you don't win at all is the Packers.
It's the only team in the NFC you're willing to say that for?
It is. The 49ers are playing with house money.
I agree.
We talked about the Rams earlier. You and I disagree on that. I'm not going there with the Rams yet. And the Bucs won the Super Bowl last year. So maybe there's a, well, was that your last chance of Brady thing? But they just won a Super Bowl.
The Brady window, though. He's 44. Is he really going to be effective at 45?
But they already got one out of him. So I view it as a success.
Oh, it's absolutely a success, but
we have not seen, nobody's repeated as a champ since the Pats did it in what, 03, 04? We're going on 20 years since we've seen a repeat champion. And then in the AFC, I mean, if Tennessee loses, I'm not putting that on them. Kansas City, sure, there'd be some ruffled feathers, I guess, if they don't win at all, but I'm not saying it's a failure of a year. Buffalo, if they don't win a championship, it's a failure of a season. That's just such a high bar to you have to win a championship in order to have a successful season.
But that's what they're playing for.
I mean,
for.
Of course.
J.J. Watt was like, it's a failure of a season. J.J. Watt on the Cardinals. See, like, Patrick Mahomes is in on Super Bowl rings. Tyreek Hill said, we're after the Chicago Bulls. We want to win seven. You're not going to always be in that position. You only have such a window. I'm not saying, like, Chief fans should be pissed and want everybody fired. But, like, the standard for the Chiefs is the Super Bowl.
I'm okay using the word disappointment, but to say it's a failure of a year, like, if they get to the AFC Championship game or get back to the Super Bowl for a third straight season.
Yeah, that's a good year.
That's not a failure. I disagree with you there. I think semantics matter. I wouldn't use the word failure. Disappointment, sure. 100%, you could be disappointed if you lose.
Well, the Blazers don't make the title; they're failures.
Yeah, they've been failures for a long, long time. But yeah, I do feel that way about Green Bay. We'll have more on them over the next couple of days. A bit of interesting local news here recently. We haven't talked about this yet since it happened, because I think it went down on Friday after we got off the air. But Travis Dye, who was the first Oregon player to lead the Ducks in both rushing yards and receptions in a season since 1992, he did it this past year. Entered the transfer portal. He had 1,200 yards. I believe he was the Pac-12's all-purpose leader in yards this season. became the number one back, obviously, after C.J. Verdell went down. He entered the transfer portal, and he is deciding whether or not he said returning is an option, going to the NFL is an option, or looking elsewhere. But this one was surprising, I think. I was on the golf course on Friday, and it was kind of like murmuring around Twitter, like, hey, Travis Dye's gone. Travis, what? Everybody was caught off guard by it. But the leading running back for the Oregon Ducks maybe hitting the portal and heading elsewhere.
Well, it might be misguided, but I think because of Sean Dollars, I'm not ready to say Travis Dye is truly gone from Oregon. We'll see. It's a pretty crowded backfield if you look at it. But I think Lanning has shown very early maybe an ability to get guys back who weren't his, like Mario guys. And so I'm not ready to completely say he's gone. Unless there's a report I missed out there suggesting he truly just wants to play in a different team, different city, whatever. I'm not really ready to say he's leaving. It did catch my eye. But I think Oregon's going to be okay. I really good player. But your season's not going to make or break off Travis Dye. You can replace that.
Yeah, the reaction I had to it was, first, what you had, and that is that Dan Lanning's been able to re-recruit a couple of guys out of the portal. Seven McGee was the first. You mentioned Sean Dollars. There might have been some other ones that did it as well.
McGee was the one I was searching for, and I remember Dollars, but I know McGee was first.
He did it with both. There might have been somebody else, and a couple of guys have transferred. I mean, that just happens in college football, whether you get a coaching change or not, right? Guys are going to transfer. So that was my first reaction. Well, let's wait and see if he actually ends up leaving. The other part of it that I did consider is, has he had conversations with C.J. Verdell behind the scenes? Because we just still don't know what C.J. Verdell is going to do coming off that injury as a running back. A lot of miles on your legs. Are you just saying, screw it, I'm going to the NFL, let me make my money now? Or are you going to say, I need a year of production to put on, you know, on tape again coming off the injury to up my draft stock going into next season? Because if you tell me that C.J. Verdell's coming back next year, I understand why Travis Dye might say, well, I was the number one back last year. I proved that I could be the number one back. I'm going to be back in a situation where I'm splitting carries. And as you're pointing out, you got all these young guys that are coming up that you're going to want to give playing time to so they don't start entering the transfer portal. Like, I get that becomes a very crowded room if CJ comes back. The only weird thing is right now is we just don't know if CJ Verdell is returning or not.
How many years would that be? Six? Seven?
For CJ Verdell?
Feels like he's been there for a decade.
Not that long. I think his freshman year.
Was it pre-Mario?
No, I don't think he was a pre-Mario guy.
If it honestly, he is one of those.
Feels like he's been around a long time.
What was the kid's name that played for Kansas, had the receding hairline? He was a forward. He was a big. You remember what I'm talking about? Ellis? Yeah,
Ellis, that sounds right.
Was it Percy Ellis?
It sounds right, yeah.
Not too long ago? I swear, that dude was at Kansas for a decade.
So his first year playing at Oregon was 2018, so it was Cristobal's first year. So he's been there the Cristobal 10-year. I don't know if that was his true freshman year in 18 or if he redshirted. But remember, you got the COVID no counties last season.
Yeah.
So he's only technically a junior.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
So he can go to the NFL draft if he wants, but
I don't know if his where his stock would land in the NFL and if it could be improved, stay the same. He's coming off a pretty bad injury, so that sucks. But he was having a great year before that injury happened.
No doubt. So we'll see what happens there. But that news I thought was interesting. Is Travis Dye is entering the transfer portal.
Do you find this time very weird as a fan where you're balancing young talent being developed mixed with new coaching staff, new philosophies, new thoughts, getting new guys in, transfer portal stuff? Like, this is a really weird time for fans, for programs like Oregon, isn't it?
Very strange. Figuring out what your identity is going to be. Which of the guys that enter the portal do you want to keep?
Yeah.
Like, it's a new staff. Some of the guys, maybe they enter and they're like, all right, go ahead. Like, you know, you weren't in our plans anyways. Very, very weird time. Especially leading into, I mean, we're a couple of weeks away, and we'll get to this with Nimick, but a couple of weeks away from the next National Signing Day. It's coming up, what, early February, I want to say, right? Isn't that when that next one is?
I think it's around there. Is Oregon something expected like to be a big player in that?
Well, that's what we'll ask Andrew Nimick about. Okay. I don't follow it as closely as
sometimes you
I
nerd out on that stuff.
Sometimes I do. I've unnerded on it in the last couple of months because it's been a little depressing. So we'll see what Nimick has to say.
Well, if it makes you feel better, Mario Cristobal was just told no by Toledo's Jason Candle.
Okay, that makes me feel better. That does. This actually came out, and this has happened at a number of places, and Oregon is the latest one to add to the bunch. And it's something now that Oregon and Miami have in common. The NCAA is poking around and sniffing around the Oregon Ducks third-party NIL program. So remember, they created what's it called? Division Street. And we talked about it when it happened.
That's the Nike thing, right?
Yeah, providing branding and marketing to Oregon athletes. They wanted to elevate their NIL opportunities while allowing them to focus on school and the sport. I love the wording behind it. The Division Street backers are, you know, Phil Knight, a lot of Nike folks that are involved in this, a lot of big time donors, and the NCAA is they're saying something smells fishy. Jimmy Stanton, who's the athletic spokesman, came out and said our NIL policies and process apps we use for education reporting are all they're complying with the requests and all that, but the NCAA sniffing up Oregon. They've done it with Miami, they did, and then BYU was the other one that got the NCAA's attention for the way they were handling things.
Or, you know, you could actually investigate the schools that have been prominently cheating for a good part of 45, 50 years now and basically control college football. You could do that, or you could investigate a program in the state of Florida that has been irrelevant for 20 years. You could investigate a team in Provo, Utah, that, you know, outside of maybe a fluky year is not really going to be a playoff team. Or you can investigate a team in Eugene, Oregon that, you know, kind of got this ship steered in the right direction starting like 2009, 2010. You could do that. Or Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, LSU. Yeah, because I'm sure they're all doing that on the up and up.
This is such a Wild West time. Like, there was already weird, shady stuff that was going on behind the scenes, and now that it's kind of out in front, it is
Well, I hate that we're already in the should we be regulating.
Yeah.
Like, people are doing that with the portal and the NIL stuff, and are we doing that? Are we asking these things of coach salaries, of coach departures? I'm not saying there shouldn't be something. Maybe a player, you know, can transfer, but like, you got to be there minimum 2 years. I don't know if there should be or needs to be, but the reaction to the NIL mixed with portal stuff is like, people are freaking out already and like, let's regulate this. Whereas like the rampant bagman cheating while coach makes $9 million a year and or makes $30 million to get fired has been going on forever, and there's nobody out there. Should we be regulating buyouts?
The NIL stuff I'm not worried about, because legislatures, both state and at the federal, pretty much have said, you try to put a cap or any sort of antitrust on what these kids can earn, you're going to lose in court. And we know, like, Nike's not afraid to sue the pants off anybody. So that won't fly. The only regulation I think they want to come up with in terms of the transfer portal is a schedule, so we don't have this crazy at the end of the season. And they want to go with the early signing period in the transfer portal and when coaches are getting hired and fired at the end of the season. I think that chaos is something they want to move. That can be handled with scheduling. You're not going to keep people from entering those things and making those deals, but they at least want to have a time frame to get that done in, so it's not total chaos.
The latest two on this in Miami, remember, they were one of the programs that got the NCAA was sniffing around. Drew Rosenhaus, the big super agent, is a Miami grad, and him and a bunch of other Miami boosters have now basically stockpiled what they're calling like a Miami NIL bank. And people are putting money into this account, and it's going directly to players, and it's allowed. And they all have different companies and stuff that they can work through and hire the, you know, players to star in commercials for. And one of the boosters that's involved with it is already tweeting and bragging about the 1 year deals that some of these guys are signing. Like, their quarterback just signed a $50,000 deal, and they went down $42,000. They've already announced out of this like Miami bank a total of $390,000 worth of deals just for next season.
Miami's all in. They've given Mario a lot of power, and I think they're going to back Mario a lot financially. I think the thing about that is a little gross just in the feel of that is we know the Rosenhaus deal also comes with, if X player is amazing, guess who he's signing?
Oh, of course. It's going to lead right into it.
And they're going to never have any tie to that. There's never going to be any evidence to suggest that he meddled in that way.
Oh, man.
But we know that's the wink and the nod deal that's going on with a guy like Drew Rosenhaus.
So there you go. There's some news out of the college football world. The NCAA is sniffing around Oregon and what they're doing with name, image, and likeness. They have become the third program to get looked into by the NCAA, joining Miami and BYU. Travis Dye enters the portal, and we'll find out more on the Oregon and Oregon State recruiting angle stuff with Andrew Nimick coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Let's get to your favorite segments, Stat or Story next on The Fam.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't. No.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, do math.
The Fan.
That's right, folks. It is Stat or Story time. A couple quick things here before we get to what Swag cooked up for us today. Nimmick coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll talk some recruiting with him. Somebody said, you think Oregon went from a lifetime irrelevance to perennial national player overnight cleanly? And we answered, no. Nobody argued that in the last segment. Nobody argued that they were against Oregon being investigated.
I love that if we have a pro-Oregon opinion, it's because we're the home of the Ducks. Like, that's such a... it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm sure there's all sorts of shady stuff going on behind the scenes at Oregon and at every other program around the country. That's the way that it works. The feeling that I have about the NIL stuff, honestly, is kind of the feeling that I had when weed was first legalized. And you could walk into a store and buy, like, it just, that was, it's so weird because you're so used to it being behind the scenes and you know that it's there, you know where to find it, you know it's out there, you know people are smoking it, but now it's, you can just walk into a store and buy whatever the hell you want. I have that feeling about NIL. Like, you know, all this shady stuff has gone on forever at every Big Ten program. Mm-hmm. This is college athletics. What are we kidding ourselves?
Jimbo Fisher admitted it. He's like, this isn't new. We've been doing this stuff forever.
Right? We can just now, we don't have to do a handshake under the table. We can do it on top of the table. And that's the weird part that I have with it, seeing all these deals and the money that's getting handed around. I'm happy the players are making money. I don't have any issues with it. And I'm sure everybody's cheating up the wazoo because the NCAA has no guidance on this and they don't care about what's going on. But it is weird for me. I haven't not quite fully adapted yet. That's for sure.
Can you cheat as well as the SEC? And by cheat,
that's,
I mean,
question.
How is your NIL going to stack up against them? Because they're going to make the most money.
They are.
I just have a hard time seeing anybody be able to match what they're going to do in this thing.
That's the challenge. All right, what do we got? Stat or story time. What do we cook up?
Your first number is 91.
91.
Is it the postseason per game rushing yards average for Titans running back Derrick Henry, who's expected to return to action this weekend? So his per game rushing average in the playoffs. Or is it the diameter in meters of the mysterious ice disc that has formed in a river in Maine in 2019 and it is reforming this winter?
Ooh.
Per game, right? He's had, look, I don't know how many playoff games. Well, I mean, him and Mariota, I think, made one early on. Didn't they beat Kansas City randomly?
Mariota threw a pass to himself.
That's right. And yeah. they beat Alex Smith and the Chiefs on the road.
I'm going to say this is a stat.
I don't think he had a great game against Kansas City in the AFC title game. I know he ran all over Baltimore and New England. I'm going to go Story.
Story.
Is it more or less than 99?
It is more, 111.7 yards.
What a beast.
What a beast.
For him in his playoff career. No, this comes to us from our friends at Huffington Post. So there is a ice disc forming yet again in the Presumpscot River up in Westbrook, Maine. It first appeared in 2019 when it grew to 91 meters or 100 yards wide, and it's free floating. It's not attached. So due to the currents and the depth of water, they can form in the river, and then it will start to rotate as well. They advise people to not try to go out and stand on it.
You know, I had not too long ago, I had a friend of a friend have a pond. That's a good size pond. I'm not talking like a little puddle here. And where they're at, it gets really cold and they get the snow, and it's in Oregon. Video of him and his son ATVing on top of the pond.
Wow. Bold move, Cotton.
Well, it's, you know, he's been there for years. He knows that better than I, but I saw that. I got nervous watching. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I see those videos on Instagram and stuff all the time. It's like, hey, let's test out the ice. And it's like somebody going out and trying to play pond hockey. And they go out and they fall in.
Or the people that are in the Speedo and they run and they jump onto the ice and it doesn't break. It's like, that was not a good
ouchie. Your next number is one.
One.
One. Is it the number of playoff games Aaron Rodgers has started in which he did not throw an interception? You got it?
Got it.
Or is it the number of different shapes of popcorn kernels, as today is National Popcorn Day?
I'm going to go Story.
I mean, when you hear that stat, it seems like there's no way. The number of games he started without throwing an interception.
Number of playoff games he started in which he has not thrown an interception.
You tell me, in all the years they went to the Super Bowl, they've been in the playoffs perennially, NFC title games, only one game that he hasn't thrown a pick. I'm taking the bait here. I'm going Story.
God damn it.
It's a stat.
It had to be. I knew it had to be.
I hate
January 5th, 2014, a wild card loss to the 49ers. The only game.
That's insane. His TD to interception ratio in the regular season is unmatched historically in the NFL.
This comes to us from factretriever.com, as it is National Popcorn Day. There are three different shapes of popcorn kernels. Rice, Pearl, or South American. They did not give me a photo. I'm curious about the South American. But yes, are you guys big popcorn fans?
I am. We are. Yeah. We like popcorn in my house.
Yeah, I like popcorn. I can get down on some popcorn.
I'm not really like the extra buttery guy. I just buy the popcorn at Costco and I pop it and that's what we eat.
What kind do you get? Do you get the movie theater one or what?
Yeah,
kind?
It's the movie theater one. If the kids are not there, I'll add some spice to it. I like
that. Do you go old school and actually pop it, or you just throw it in the microwave pre-bagged?
Who's got time for that, man? That's one of those things.
Caveman,
my wife
in the microwave.
The wife tried to do that one time and it backfired. She got like something for Christmas. It was like,
the
I want to do
air
the
popper
old,
or whatever.
Yeah, and it just things were stained. It burned like this. I was like, we have 8,000 bags of Costco popcorn in the garage. Go grab one.
When I was little.
Is that the only way they could do it?
No, that was old school when you put the oil in the pan. My dad nearly burned the damn house down.
Did he really?
Yeah.
When Swag was little, they discovered popcorn.
No.
Either real Orville Redenbacher?
No. Popcorn goes back to...
how far back does it go?
Probably the cavemen?
No. Native Americans the story goes up somewhere in Pennsylvania or up there where the first they presented it to.
Well, to our knowledge, they were.
To our knowledge.
Yeah.
So that
corn
was when
it was popped, according to Google, as early as 4,700 BC.
Oh,
Google.
Wow.
Yeah.
In Peru. Fossil evidence in Peru suggests that they were popping that corn.
All right. Your final number is 12. is it? The number of consecutive divisional round playoff games Tom Brady has currently won. So his current divisional round playoff winning streak. Or is it the amount of meat in kilograms the average crocodile yields as Thailand ramps up production in the wake of a deadly swine disease that is decimating the pork industry?
Story.
So the last time he lost in the playoffs was obviously the Titans game, but that was a wild card round. He's lost in AFC title games. I remember they lost to Denver in the AFC title game.
Why does he do this?
You got to think it through, man. You got to show
your
math.
But it never works. You got to show your math. You think about it, and then it never works.
Got to show your process, okay? Can't just write down an answer. How did you get there? How did you get to that answer? Yeah, you know?
He's like, he's sitting in the chair at Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I know. It's unbelievable. He's like looking for a lifeline here.
I love a lifeline. Can I do 50-50? Is that an option?
Who would you call for a lifeline, by the way? Like in a questionnaire situation, who is the person you would trust the most to be the most informed on the most topics that you would give your best shot to?
How does that work? Do you have to give them one person before the show starts?
I think they had a list. There was a list of like three or four, depending on what the question was.
But who's number one for you?
Swag would be on there for a lot of things. He's very knowledgeable. My dad would probably be there for like politics, U.S. history, that kind of, you know, I'd probably lean on him for that.
Okay.
And then, you'd have to be able to check all your bases because there could, you know, what if it's like a science question? Like, my dad doesn't know anything about science.
So you got to have my dad for the science stuff.
You got to be able to, you know, cover your tracks there.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go story here.
It is a story.
Show my work and it worked.
Tom Brady currently.
I didn't and it worked.
On a 9-game divisional round playoff winning streak.
Okay.
His last loss was 2010 to the Jets. Was that Mark Sanchez?
Mark Sanchez. They went to back-to-back AFC title games.
That was my thing is I was kind of doing the dirt thing mentally, but I'm like, they lost to the Jets in the divisional round, and I know that was not more than 12 games ago. Plus, they had a couple bounces, I think. Yeah. The Titans in the wild card. Brady's last year in New England was a wild card game.
Let's see. This comes to us from Vice. So there is a deadly disease that is ravaged the pig, swine, pork industry in Thailand, where that's the most popular meat. So it has caused the price of pork there in Thailand is over $6 a pound.
Whoa.
And so now crocodile meat is taking its place. So they're using that for everything. You can get 12 kilos of meat off the average crocodile that's being farmed. It sells between $2 and $3 per kilogram.
Things are going well over there.
And so, so they're using it trying to make like
over here?
Crocodile bacon. And you ever had alligator or crocodile?
I've had gator, I've had gator.
It's not bad.
It needs to be prepared. It can very easily get chewy and rubbery.
I'd rather eat vegetables and rice than have gator.
And everywhere I've had it, it's either deep fried or it's heavily spiced.
I had a deep fried Cajun
blackened spice or something like that. It needs a lot of help.
Yeah, I could live. Like, if I was in that situation, you just give me a big bowl of rice with some good veggies on top of it, a little sriracha. I could live off that for a month.
Would you go dummy meat or would you try to like a different meat if they suddenly were like, hey, pork or cow or something is.
Well,
no
there's
longer
a lot
exists.
Of seafood
yeah,
there,
well,
so I'd be okay.
You what?
Like, there's a lot of seafood as well in Thailand. A lot of fish, a lot of that. So
those oil covered fish.
Yeah.
I've heard Thailand's beautiful.
Yeah.
We almost went when we went to Vietnam. We had a plan to go for 2 days, fly over, go to, what's the famous town over there?
Bangkok?
No, not Bangkok. The other one, the tropical place.
Yeah, that
Phuket?
One. Sure. I'm not familiar with my Thailand cities.
Well, you should be. You should be.
All right.
I haven't studied Thailand yet.
Nemec's waiting.
Nemec's supposed to be on in 3 minutes.
Okay,
so.
Well, would you guys shut up
swag
over
on
there?
The clock on that
God,
segment.
Shut up. Somebody said Sam Elliott needs to do a crocodile ad.
It's a little gamey.
All right. Roast beef.
Gator stew.
Andrew Nemec, let's get a recruiting update on what's going on with Oregon and Oregon State as we're nearing the next signing day, a couple weeks away. We'll get to that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, welcome back in. 8:36 on a Wednesday morning. There's been a lot going on the Oregon and Oregon State recruiting trails. What's happening with Dan Lanning? Where's Oregon State at? Joining us now is our friend Andrew Nimick, recruiting insider here at The Fan, recruiting reporter for the Oregonian, at Andrew Nimick on Twitter. And you can hear him right here on The Fan Thursdays from 7 to 8 p.m. with Recruiting with Andrew Nimick. Nimick, good morning, my man. How are things going? Dan Lanning has taken over, and we know how good of a recruiter Mario Cristobal was, and everybody wondered how can they move on possibly from that staff. I'm seeing, you know, announcements. They get an in-state kid last night. Just how have things gone now that the national championship is gone and Lanning's been around for a couple of weeks?
Well, I think it kind of remains to be seen. They've added a couple of three-star kids in the class of 2022. I think those are guys that in Cristobal's heyday in recruiting are non-takes. They're fine players, and they may develop and be very good players, but they are three-star prospects, and they're mid three-star prospects. It's not like they're knocking on the door of being five-star talent, so, or four-star talent. So they're fine. They're good additions. They need an O-lineman. They need a receiver. You know, Kawika Rogers out of Hawaii, the number three prospect in Hawaii, Justice Lowe, the Lake Oswego star, fits the bill. In terms of transfer portal, they've gotten guys you'd expect them to get. Bo Nix has that connection with Dillingham at Auburn, so it made sense that he would transition over to Oregon. Christian Gonzalez, the all-conference corner from Colorado, he entered the transfer portal immediately after Demetrius Martin announced that he was coming to Oregon, so you kind of saw the writing on the wall there. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, there's a lot of we'll see. Christian Miller is the number two defensive line prospect in the nation that remained unsigned. Rivals has him as the number five defensive tackle in the country. He just visited Oregon. If they're able to get him, if they're able to get Grayson Holton, who's one of the top five D linemen left in the country that's unsigned out of San Diego, he's still technically committed to Oregon. Miami's made a push. Oklahoma's made a push. If they can bring him in, that'll be a good sign. Jaleel Florence is one of the top 10 corners in America. He decommitted after Mario Cristobal left for Miami. If they're able to bring him into the fold, that would be great. The hard part is people want to sometimes put the cart before the horse, and the reality is we don't know yet because it's been 2 weeks. There's some good signs. They're certainly active on the recruiting trail. They've done a good job. I think Grayson Holton was almost a foregone conclusion to be gone, even though he remained verbally committed. I think now it's possible they keep him. Jaleel Florence, I think, is mostly Oregon or USC. That's a good sign. But generally speaking, there's just a lot more work to do before we'll get any type of read on how this thing's starting off.
Well, Nimick, it's kind of a two-parter. One, if you were to lean on where Jaleel Florence goes, I'm real curious because he did decommit, but now he's kind of interested again. Where would you lean there? And two, how would you sum up the coaching staff? Because just if I'm to look at social media, it's believed to be great, great recruiting staff, really good staff, energizing staff. How are they as coaches, right? Like, that's the one thing, and it's a little thing, but Mario was successful, and those games that he lost, they just had those moments where I think people were clamoring for a little more X's and O's stuff. How is this staff from a coaching perspective, not recruiting, coaching?
Well, I think the Jaleel Florence thing is really difficult to predict, and the reason is it depends on how he connects with these new coaches. Mm-hmm. He's kind of shut down most of his interviews at this point. I do think it's telling that he shut down all his visits. That's probably a pretty good sign for Oregon. He's not visiting Miami. He's not going to visit Oklahoma again and check them out. So those are good signs, but there's a reason kids are uncommitted this long. They're the wishy-washy, undecided kids. In terms of the staff, you know, there's a roadmap to success in Eugene. There's no question. Dan Lanning has been connected to successful programs. Tosh LaPoy has been one of the best recruiters in America. But there's a whole lot of questions, and you can go down the list. you know, Dan Lanning. There are folks at Georgia who think, you know, in terms of scheme and in terms of development, that they may not miss a beat with him being gone. Now, he could end up bringing that Georgia defense essentially to Oregon, and they're phenomenal. There's just, it's unknown. I don't know which is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Kenny Dillingham has almost no experience calling plays as the offensive coordinator. And if you want to make the argument he was primarily responsible for Florida State this year, Florida State's offense was absolutely abhorrent for the talent they had. I mean, they were terrible. So that's not a great sign. But again, he's brand new to being an offensive coordinator, so we don't know. And then you've got a couple of coaches who have had pass with getting in trouble with the NCAA for cheating in recruiting. So there's a lot of questions with this staff, and I'm sort of left scratching my head with Oregon fans thinking they're not going to miss a beat in recruiting or like, here we go, we're going to win 10 games next year. It's possible, but Dan Lanning's never been a head coach. Kenny Dillingham has never really manufactured his own offense. Tosh Lapoy, as a defensive coordinator, has never done it without getting slapped on the wrist by the NCAA. I mean, you know, the offensive line coach has been in trouble in the past. I just think there's a lot that has to go right. It could. It very well could. But there's still a lot that has to go right. And if I were an Oregon fan, I'd be a little bit more nervous than I would be celebratory, if that's fair. That's a poor read. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think that's fair, especially only a couple of weeks into this. We'll see how it plays out. Signing day, maybe they turn some heads and can bring some of those guys in. But the X's and O's stuff, you're going to have to wait a long time to figure out how that's going to play out. Quickly, Nimmick, because we are against it. I saw your tweet the other day about Oregon State and how big of a deal it would be for them to finish, you know, in the top 50 in the nation in recruiting. They slipped just outside of the top 50. Is that kind of where you expect them to finish? Any news coming for them going into the February signing day?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to add anybody else. So I think, unless there's some decommitments in the 47, 48, 49 range here, they're going to finish outside the top 50. That's my own personal benchmark, to be completely candid. I've never heard that from them after signing day, them saying, like, we're top 50. But they haven't been in the top 50 since 2013, and they've done this exact thing three different times. They've been like 47th after the early signing period or 47th in January. We get to the late signing period and they fall to 52nd. I think 2023, and I mean this sincerely, I think in 2023, it is not out of the question that they sign a top 25 class. Ooh. I don't think it's entirely likely. I'd put the chances at about 1 in 3, but I'd be floored. Because I think they're now getting away from the transfer portal a little bit. I think they're relying more on high school recruiting. I think they're doing better in high school recruiting. The buzz is certainly there. I think they're about to add one of the top 12 quarterbacks in America in the next couple weeks to that 2023 class. I think if they don't finish top 35, I'd be floored. And I think just based on what I'm hearing from the recruits, there's kind of the message that, hey, guys, we're going to put together the best recruiting class in program history, come along for the ride. And that doesn't seem like, you know, grasping at straws. It's resonating. There are some kids who are very talented who are going, yeah, let's be a part of Oregon State's best class ever. So there's some really early, really positive buzz. And even if you don't subscribe to that stuff, it's still a level of buzz I've never heard before, and that's a very good sign.
As quickly as you can, Nimmick, because we are against it, the quarterback spot seems to be Chance Nolan's. Sam Vidlak transfers. I don't know where the Neuer thing stands, whether he has a year of eligibility or not, but it seems to be Nolan today. Is there anything expected to the best read of the portal or recruiting at all with Oregon State at the quarterback spot, or is this just maybe Nolan's job for the next season and they wait another year or two before looking into the future at that?
I have seen no movement in terms of them reaching out to any recruits. I have not heard from them at all that they're looking at the transfer portal, but I am pretty familiar with the way they look at that position and the way they recruit. If they can get an upgrade over Chance Nolan, I think they will take that swing. I'm not guaranteeing anything. I couldn't name a name if you paid me.
Yeah.
But I do think if they can get an upgrade, they will attack. And not only that, but so far what I've seen from the transfer portal is good players that can contribute think that Oregon State's offense is very smart. So it gives them an extra chance. Once guys have been through it and they're no longer jaded by the process, they go, hey, I want to go just go play somewhere that's smart football that I can put up numbers. And Oregon State might be that spot.
Yeah, there you go. Hit him with the button. You got the button ready over there? Hit him with the button. Oh, yeah, he needs a button after that. Get him a button. Come on. There we go. Andrew Nimick recruiting with Andrew Nimick on Thursday, 7, 8 p.m. right here on the fam.
Ridiculous.
Recruiting reporter for the Oregonian. I had Andrew Nimick on Twitter. Thanks for waking up with us and sharing the info. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll catch up again soon.
Yes, of course. Woot, woot.
Woot, woot. There you go, Andrew Nimick. Good stuff from him. Woot, woot. A little woot, woot there to close it out for Oregon State. So exciting things for the Beavs. And big question marks for Oregon. I think he's valid on all of the question marks that he's bringing up. And just time will tell what the answers will be for what the staff's going to look like and how things are going to play out. It's only been a couple of weeks. Take a deep breath, but we'll see how it goes. And, hey, you got a nice, easy start to next year against Georgia. They're not very good, are they?
No,
last time I checked, they're a pretty bad program. So it should be an easy 1-0 start for old Dan Lanning. Hey, a crazy story I want to get to and a look at the night ahead in sports. Close it up there next on the fam. How about this weird story? You guys sadly both had to recently experience the loss of a pet, which is just devastating for everybody to deal with.
I didn't share this yet. I cried Saturday. Not for very long, and not like, sure. But I had like a 5-minute moment. I was looking at pictures of my daughter. It was her birthday this weekend. She turned 10, which is huge, you know, for a kid. And a lot of pictures I came across of 1, 3, 5, 6, 7, just years where she took photos with our dog who we just put down in September. And
all those birthday parties and memories and stuff.
It's her first one, her whole life. That dog was there for every birthday and wasn't this year. And I had a moment. I was like, damn, I miss that dog.
It is brutal, man. Absolutely brutal. So knowing how painful it is, would you consider this? There is a Texas-based company, and this is becoming more accessible and more people are doing it, that will clone your dog for you.
No, I'm out.
You're out on that.
This is not 6-day Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm not getting a replacement dog. Dogs, I view dogs in the human life. Did you ever watch Pet Cemetery growing up? Dogs have different characters.
Yeah, that's the best part.
That is the best part.
Barbara Streisand, I guess it started with her.
Of course it did.
She's done this like 3 different versions of the dog,
yeah,
right?
Her dog died, I guess, in a car accident. And she went to this Texas-based company via Gen Pets or something, and they cloned her dog. And 5 other puppies were born that were like of the same breed. So they have the ability to do this. They say it's just like, you know, you just fertilize the egg, baby, grab that thing, squirt it on up there, and there you go. You can find yourself a new puppy cloning the same animal, but you're not willing to do it. Not a little too weird.
No matter how ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. What's weirder, cloning your dog or taxidermying your dog?
I think cloning.
Oh, my God. Both of those are awful.
You think cloning's weird?
I think it's cloning, though. It's a once-in-a-lifetime moment, like, with an animal that's different, man. Like, be careful stumbling down this path. Would you do this?
No. Not in a million years.
How come Barbara Streisand's not interested in a different dog?
That's the kind of the beauty of it, right? When the pain is there, but then you get a new dog, and there's a new personality, new life experiences that you learn with that dog.
What does that dog do for Barbara Streisand where she's like, I'm going to clone you 3 right. different times?
You call it the same name?
That's just I think you do. If you're cloning it, don't you have to keep acting like it's the same dog?
That's just weird, man. It's wanting to live in an alternate reality. Hey, Blazers are in Miami today.
Oh, yeah, and Jimmy Butler and Bam are back.
10-point spread. Blazers are red hot and rolling.
Might double up on the same game parlay app tonight.
Ooh.
5-star lock of the bet for BetQL is the Nets +2.5. I might double dip here and add Heat -10 and the over.
All right, we look forward to the Jack Ramsey's pregame show coming up today. Blazers back in action. Bay. We'll have more on the divisional round tomorrow. We went to Cincinnati for the ticker. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thanks so much for being a part of our Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Collins next, listening to 1080 The Fan.